church. Hallelujah. You reign over the city. Hallelujah. We praise your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here and now, Lord.
Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done.
Father, your kingdom. Father, we thank you that you are a yes and amen. Father, by your commissioning, we are gathered here tonight to get results, to establish your word, your authority, your grace, your goodness, your provisions for our lives. Lord, take us through this battleground and help us to enforce your will here on the earth as it is in heaven. We take no prisoners. And Lord God Almighty, by the word of your truth, we establish the victory that you've ordained, and we say no more. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you came tonight. Tonight is not just a time of the preaching or teaching of the word, but a time of warfare. There are battles that we need to win. Amen? So I thank God that you came. And I thank God that we will accomplish what we have come to accomplish in the name of the Lord. Warfare is a necessity. The enforcement of the will of God is a paramount necessity. It is something that we cannot fiddle with. The Word of God tells us, as we explored the Word again this morning, that God spoke to the Israelites and said to them certain things. In Judges, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, we established a particular truth. He says here, "And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell." We looked at that particular statement a little bit more closely, where the word of God says, "Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." And we came to particular conclusions based on the fullness of the word of God, because God's word tells us that God gave the land to the Israelites. It was theirs. That statement was restated in 2 Chronicles 20, where Jehoshaphat talked about, "This land is a land that you gave to your friend Abraham, and that was handed to us as an inheritance." But here in Judges, the 6th chapter, the word of God says, "Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." Now, that statement, "in whose land you dwell," refers to the Amorites, which were seers, boastful people, and we talked about all the details of that. I don't want to restate what I talked about twice or three times already, or else we get stuck there. But it was not just the land of the physical people called the Amorites. The word of God, by the sentence structure, says there, "Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." So that statement, "in whose land you dwell," also refers to the gods of the Amorites. We established that this morning, didn't we? Okay. So we said, well, as far as the gods of the Amorites were concerned, they were keeping this land. God gave it to the Israelites, but they were not going to let it go. The people may let it go, but these gods will not let it go. unless you dislodge them from that place of authority over that land. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, when we talked about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says to us that after he said, "It is said," and the enemy left him, he said it left him for a season, meaning that he was going to return. The Bible tells us that when an evil spirit is cast out, it will go and roam around, then it will come back to check the place where he was kicked out of. And if the place is clean, but nobody's occupying it, then it goes and gets seven more wicked spirits and comes, and the state of that one that was once delivered becomes seven times worse. Is that in the Bible?
Yes.
Okay. So we're talking about spiritual things. And we talked about patterns, how patterns flow from one generation to the other consistently. And we said there are things that we need to do to continue to enforce the will and the word of God. Now, what is that about? The Bible tells us that Jesus died once and died no more. Praise the Lord. But Paul makes a statement. He says, "I die daily." Is it dying once or dying daily? And what is the dying about? The dying is about surrendering yourself to the Lordship of God. So as long as you do not surrender yourself to the Lordship of the living God in your life, not just Jesus is my Savior, but Jesus is my Lord. He's the one occupying the house. The demons have been cast out, and Jesus is Lord. He's living here. If Jesus is not Lord, then there is going to be another Lord. Hello? Lordship is about ownership. If God does not have ownership of you, something is going to try to take ownership of you. Because unoccupied places thrive in building up weeds. Hello? There's an amazing building off Sinclair and Jefferson. Forgotten the name of that building. It was occupied for the longest time. And I didn't know when they vacated the place, but obviously somebody had moved everybody that was in this structure out. And the place is overgrown with weeds. The place looks run down. When people were living in there, it looked perfectly okay. But now it's not. It's run down. I had not noticed it. I've been driving through that place, and one day we drove by, and Mama says, "I think this building is abandoned." I said, "I don't think so." I didn't see all that she was seeing because I'm focused on the road. But today, I was driving past. I said, "Let me look." And I looked. Oh my goodness, that's not the same place. It has been left, abandoned. And that's the life of so many believers. The demons are gone, but there is abandonment because lordship has not been established. And therefore, the enemy thrives. Today we want to dislodge every spirit that is not the Spirit of God, that's operating and running around like cats and dogs around our lives. Somebody shout hallelujah. We cannot be Christians and be acting like people of the world. Praise the Lord. Now, Gideon and the people of Israel were going to confront the host of Midian. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 7 and verse 8, One of the things we talked about this morning is that the enemy is very strategic. Do you remember that? Spiritual warfare is a strategic thing. You have to strategize. That's why when we are doing spiritual warfare, we follow the patterns of God concerning spiritual warfare so that we can go to war and not lose out. The Bible says, as long as the ark of God was with the people, they didn't lose anybody. But there was a day the ark was there and they lost. The enemy confessed, since the ark is there, we're done. Because those guys don't die when the ark of God is with them. And they are having a great shout. But a great shout without a true connectivity with the God who abides in that ark that represents his presence and his covenant is nonsense. So we're not going to pray today and sing songs and shout and say amens without having a connection relationally with God so that we can get the results that God has already predetermined that we should have. The Philistines did not overcome God. Because when they took the ark and they placed it before their gods, he dismantled their gods. Hallelujah. Just the ark. God doesn't need me to do anything for him to do what he needs to do. But he calls you and I into partnership so that we can experience his life flow while he is exuding it. His life flow gives life to us, but it brings death to the enemy. It brings unity to us, but it brings disunity to the enemy. The presence of God is that which we must absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, have. We must have a relationship with God that is meaningful, not fictitious. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, so the people took visuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and he retained those 300 men. We had a picture of the men this morning, something that God helped me to find out and see generated. And we talked about these 300 men. The 9,700 put one knee to the ground, had their swords or whatever they had, and it looked in the natural that they were more qualified because they were being watchful to see what is happening around them. But these 300 went on their knees and are lapping water. And I said something to us this morning. God chose these guys because they had no fear. Well, the others, you might say, have been watchful. But these ones had no fear because they were totally focused on drinking the water. And they were looking at the water and seeing a reflection. But the reflection is a reflection of who they are, they knowing who they are. Sometimes you can do things in the natural that look more spiritual, but in the sight of God, that disqualifies you because that act is not an act of faith, total reliance. Here, there's total reliance, and God picks these 300 men. And he picks these 300 men and to face off with an enemy that filled the whole place. Hundreds of thousands of people. Even when he had 32,000, he did not have enough. He did not have enough to match up with the enemy that was against him. And God reduced the number, so that they absolutely have to rely on the Word of God. Today, we are going to enforce that. That we rely completely on the Word of God. So here they are. And it says, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. You've got to take the higher place. The Midianites were below him in the valley. Where is Israel positioned? Israel is positioned strategically by the well of Harod, the Bible tells us. Harod is a root word that becomes Herod in the New Testament, and it means heroes. So when Gideon brought his people together, they were standing by the well of heroes. Are we together? Position yourself. Where do we position ourselves? In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, far above. Who are these people who are seated in heavenly places? They are the people who have died to themselves and embraced the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ has given and have confessed with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about the confession that Jesus is Lord and confessing from our mouths that we are saved, as found in the book of Romans, well, it is not a one-time thing. Salvation is a one-time thing. But lordship is a daily expression, a daily confession. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. You have ownership of my life. Jesus, you're Lord over my life. You're Lord over my business. You're Lord over my family. You're Lord. You're Lord. I give you praise, my Lord. I worship you, my Lord. That is a daily confession. It's not a one-time thing. Did you hear that? Okay. Please hear that. Because until you keep on confessing the lordship of Jesus over your life, your salvation is being tampered with. The enemy is coming after it. He wants you back. Did you hear that? The devil wants you back in prison, under his control. And you must not give him license or access to that. And the way you confer that grace upon your life is by your daily confession, Jesus is Lord. Not just your Savior, he's your Savior. And not only your Savior, he's the Savior of everybody in the world. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. He paid the price for salvation for every human being. As far as God is concerned, everybody saved. But what really gets you into his kingdom is lordship. I hope you're hearing, not just with your ears, but in your spirit. The lordship of God over my life is what really ultimately saves me. So there they were positioned. Verse 12 tells us about the encampment of the enemy. And says, and the Midianites and the Amalekites. Now remember, we talked about the Amalekites being valley dwellers, but there's something else about these people. Strangely enough, they should not be called Ishmaelites, because Ishmaelites are supposed to be the children of Hagar. Yes? Who gave birth to Ishmael. But these guys are going to be called Ishmaelites also. Why? Because the spirit of Ishmael is upon them. And there is a characteristic about these guys. They collect wealth. They collect wealth. They have so much wealth that they even dress their horses with jewelry. Hello? The wealth that belongs to you cannot be used and dressed on animals. We are going to collect back what belongs to us. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the lies of the enemy is to convince us that we are supposed to be poor. That is not part of God's agenda or portion for any of his sons or daughters. Poverty. In fact, God hates poverty. He hates it with a passion. That's why the word of God says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the what? To the poor. The first thing. I hate poverty. I have to destroy poverty. The first miracle Jesus did was to break the backbone of lack. They lacked wine. He provided the wine out of water. Somebody listening? He hates it. Hallelujah. Because poverty does not represent God at all. When we are poor, it is because the devil wants to keep us in a mindset of poverty. You and I must have a mindset of prosperity. That's why the voice of the prophet is what causes you to prosper. You got to say it out of your mouth. You got to say it out of your mouth. I'm a prosperous man. I'm a prosperous woman. I'm successful. Because success is God's divine design and apportionment for every son and every daughter, not lack. Amen. If we're suffering lack, it's because something is moving around us that should not. And those things got to die. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, it says about the enemy, it says, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. Their camels were like the sand by the sea. Where did you first see statements like that, sand by the sea? It's about the promise of Abraham. And now the Midianites, through the spirit of strife, remember Midian means strife, has taken what belongs to the people of God. Now their animals, their camels, were like the devil's a liar. So Gideon comes to the valley where they were because God told him, I need you to go down there and see what's going on. And he comes down there and he sees this host. But God led him to a place where he heard a man saying to another friend of his, I had a dream last night. So what was your dream? So I dreamt, and there was this barley loaf, this cake, this bread that just tumbled into the host of the Midianites, and it knocked down a tent. And the tent fell over and was overturned and lay flat along the way. And the friend says, that's interesting. What do you think that means? And the guy says, watch this. Because this is one of these laws of the Spirit that we need to tap into today. Remember, what you say is what you got. So it's a spiritual law. So therefore, God has to make your enemies say, in agreement with the will of God in heaven, about their demise. They want to generate fear into you. God reverses it and generates fear back into them. Because fear will be the pin that busts that balloon. Are we together? Okay. And his fellow answered and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon." Huh? How did they know about Gideon? Gideon said, "I'm some little guy. Nobody knows about me. Where the power is in the place and blah, 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 blah." But he turned down the altar of Baal. And that was what was feeding that stronghold of the Midianites. Tonight we are going to tear down altars. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, we're going to do what? We're going to tear down altars. And we're going to erect altars. Praise the Lord. But the altars that are feeding my enemy must come down. Let me tell you something. Somebody's feeding an altar somewhere. Say, I come from Germany. I come from Norway. I'm European, German, I'm Polish. Do you know your forefathers were pagans? Those are Africans. Yeah. Go check your history. You'll find that your fathers were pagans. All these people that we're talking about, who are they? The Philistines and the Midianites and whatever else. Are they not ancient people? Did they always worship God? You think there are no altars? What do you think the Shriners are serving? The Rosicrucians, what do you think they are doing? They are feeding altars. And tonight we're going to destroy the altars that have been raised up against us in our family line. They got to come down. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every tribe, every nation, every people have altars in their past that are wanting to be serviced. Listen, you know, there are some things that are happening in our world. They're happening in our world, and we think it's medical science that has the answer to it. It's nonsense. You can do all the research you want, and it doesn't solve any problem. Proof to the fact. You watch your television, and when the pharmaceuticals are talking about medications, they'll tell you this medication is supposed to solve this problem, and then there's 20 other problems that are bigger and worse than the problem you're trying to solve. That are side effects. Huh? You think it's going to just go away? No. We've got to deal with that spirit. And just like the name of Gideon, the hewer, we are going to take the axe to the roots of that thing and cut it down.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. It's got to come down. Hallelujah. So the man says, it's nobody else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand had God delivered Midian and all the hosts. That's a prophetic statement. Where did that statement? God put the prophetic statement of the demise of the enemy in the mouth of the enemy. Let them say what you are saying and amen to. And we are in agreement. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, before we lose some of these things, I want you to rise with me. We're going to begin to process what we're talking about. First of all, we are going to declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. You have to declare with your mouth, God, you have ownership of me. I belong to you. I'm your child. You've not only saved me, but you own me. You bought me from the slave market, the agora of sin, and now I am a new creation. All things are passed away from my life. All things are now new. Begin to pray and thank God for your salvation, for your redemption, for his peace over your life. Pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and the sufficiency of your love. Thank you, Lord, for your authority. You are Lord over our lives. And Lord, oh God, tonight we say yes to your word. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your purposes. We surrender our lives to you. And we say, Jesus, you are Lord. With our mouth we confess it. Our knees bow down to you this day as we declare, you are sovereign over our lives. Your will be done in our lives now and always forever in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Second thing we're going to do, now that we have received the word of God, we're going to enforce the very particular fact that fear is no longer part of our lives. One of the things we said this morning is that fear is not something you pray away. Fear is something that you let the love of God eradicate from your life. You knowing you are loved of God. For perfect love casts out fear. The Bible says fear hath torment. And the word of God tells us that torment comes about because of unforgiveness and bitterness. Yes? God gives to those who are living in unforgiveness and bitterness a tormenting spirit. So we are going to go now and we're going to say, Father, I release myself from the lies of unforgiveness. I choose this day by the art of my will to forgive. Release those that have come against you, that you are holding things against. Release them. Let God avenge you of your adversaries. Pray. Talk to God now. Father, thank you, Lord, for the grace to experience forgiveness. We have received forgiveness, and Lord, even as you have forgiven us, we choose now to forgive others. We release the grace of forgiveness, and we refuse to attach ourselves to those lies of unforgiveness and bitterness that have raged in our lives. We surrender ourselves to you, and we divorce ourselves from the spirit of strife, the spirit of divisiveness, unforgiveness and bitterness that causes many to be troubled. Father, this day we reject that and we submit ourselves to you and we surrender every case to you and say, God, avenge us of our adversaries in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now we're going to do the next thing. We're going to go after the altars of the enemy, altars that have been raised up. You know, some of you may not know about this because it's not part of your culture, but there are believers, Africans, that take chieftaincy titles from their villages or their towns and whatever else. And they say, well, we took the title, but, you know, there is nothing about it, you know. They didn't do any sacrifice or anything like that. They even gave it to me and said, "You receive it in Jesus and receive this chieftaincy." And they did not know that by doing so, they allowed themselves to come under the control of the spirit that initiated that chieftaincy. And that even though they are not there, there are people that are servicing that altar on their behalf without them knowing. And then when trouble starts popping up in their lives after they take the chieftaincy, they wonder, what happened? No, it's the chieftaincy that you ignorantly or foolishly when to tap into. You tapped into something, and that thing is tapping out of your life. Nothing comes to you free. So we're going to go. You say, well, that doesn't apply to me. There are other things that apply to you. Tonight, we're going to declare very specifically, Father, any altar that has been set up by me or others before me, my fathers, my ancestors, whatever it is that they have serviced or erected that is generating negativity in my life. Today, I, by the word of your authority, see those altars demolished and totally destroyed. Hallelujah. Pray. 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 Father, any altar that's been raised up, known or unknown, that is affecting me directly or indirectly, or affecting my children directly or indirectly, affecting my family, affecting my business, affecting anything that concerns me directly or indirectly. Father, this day in the mighty name of Jesus, those evil altars I declare destroyed now. I declare them destroyed now. By the word of your faith, oh God, those altars are destroyed. We demolish every altar that is not of God, every altar that is not of you. Father, this day they are destroyed. 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 Altars in the valley, altars in the water, altars in the hills, altars in the mountains, altars in the city, altars in the hamlet, altars wherever they are, in the forest, in the mighty name of Jesus, you are destroyed now, 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 in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Evil altars, they always speak. So we're going to declare that anything that has been speaking against me, speaking against my family, this day let the word of God destroy those words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are enemies that you don't know anything about. And tonight the fire of God has to go all the way to source and begin to destroy those things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The devil's a liar. Words have to be destroyed. Praise the Lord. So words are not affecting you? Think again. Every word spoken, whether it be God, man, or devils, will affect you if you embrace it. So we're going to destroy every word that we have believed that is not of God. The word of God says, your traditions have made the word of God ineffective. Did he say that or not? Okay, he said it. So now, we are going to destroy traditions that have become strongholds in our mind. Yes, Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're going to see those things destroyed right now. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice before the Lord and begin to declare. Father, every stronghold, every word, every thought, every impression, every projection of the enemy that has been propelled through the ages, through time, Lord, against me, against my family, against my ministry, against your calling. Lord, oh God, today, fire, consume those things. Fire, go forth and begin to destroy those words. Lord, oh God, words that I have believed that have not been your words, that have become tradition, that have become strongholds. Today, in the mighty name of Jesus, these strongholds come down. They come down now. We bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we capture every thought. Father, in Jesus' name, that is contrary. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you are destroyed. You are destroyed. You are destroyed now by the authority of the Word of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated and I'll get you up again. In Judges 7, verse 16 to 20, we see the strategy of Gideon. He says he had 300, but he reduced the 300 into three portions, 100 each. 100 men were going to follow him, and two other key leaders. We don't know the names of these leaders, but each company must have had a leader. He says he put a trumpet in every man's hand. Now, understand that there's a reason for the trumpet. When God created the devil, he created him with musical instruments. Lucifer had musical instruments, strings and pipes and whatever else. But there was one instrument that he did not have built into him. It was a trumpet. The trumpet represents a call to battle. So Nehemiah talks about when you hear the shofar being blown or the trumpet being blown, gather to where that trumpet is being blown. So even now, in our days, the trumpet is blown as a sign that something is about to happen. The trumpet is a sound that frightens the enemy. Because even when Jesus, our Lord, is going to come back, there's going to be the blast of the trumpet. The feast of the new year is the blasting of the trumpet. Something new is about to happen, a new season. Praise the Lord. So it is strategic in a very specific way that a statement is being made in the realm of the Spirit. God is coming back. The statement is there is a war happening. The statement is very clearly when this trumpet blows, it means it's a new day, a new season. Praise the Lord. And he gave to every man an empty pitcher. But this time, there's no water in there. He puts a lamp inside there. The lamp represents the Word of God, just like water represents the Word of God. The lamp represents the enlightenment that God gives. He says, put the light in there and the pitcher. Have your trumpet. We have two hands. Where's our sword? No, this battle is not yours. It's the battle of the Lord's. It is the enemy's sword, what he planned to use against you, that you are going to use to behead him. That's what David did with Goliath. Yeah? David didn't have a sword. He used Goliath's sword to cut off Goliath's head. The sword represents words. Yes? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yes? So guess what? The sword of the devil is also the word of the devil. Because the devil only imitates God. Are we together so far? Okay. So here they are, and they come, and their proclamation is going to be singular. The word of God goes on, verse 17 and 18. He says, when I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of what? Gideon. The interpretation of the guy was that this is nothing else but the sword of what? Gideon. But Gideon is smart enough to know that it is not me, even though God is going to use me, it is the Lord. And when I declare that it is the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, I am declaring that I also, I am that sword, because I belong to him. Praise the Lord. Amen? Are we together so far? In just a moment, we're going to go into a prayer position again. So it says, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of camp of the beginning of the what? Middle watch. Now that is an interesting time, because they are changing guards at this particular time. They are the guards that have been watching are shifting to another group that are coming in and taking their post. And it is in the middle of this change that is happening that they attack. I do believe that there is a changing of guards. And this is a perfect time for us to attack. Praise the Lord. Amen. He says, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and break the pitchers that were in their hands. Watch this scenario. It's pitch dark. You don't see anybody. But these Israelites are already in the camp. 300 of them. They positioned strategically. And all of a sudden, you hear, bah! And you're hearing that sound, bang! The pitchers are broken and there's light all over the place. Guess what your mind tells you? We are all surrounded. And with the confusion, they start fighting somebody. And who are they fighting? They start fighting themselves. Amen. Killing themselves. Amen. But watch this. It says, and they stood every man in his place. All of the Israelites, the 300, stood in their place. And all the hosts began to run. They cried. They fled. They are running. They're trying to escape. And leaving all the goodies. All the goods are left behind. But Israel, watch this now. They did not stop. Remember, they've been starving. And the first thing you want to do when you see all this nice food, when you've been starving, is stop and eat. That's not your priority. Many times, We go for the victory, the initial victory, rather than pursuing and making sure we cut off every enemy. Are we together? So now what does Gideon do? He sends word to go get all those guys that were sent off. They all start coming. And you're going to join in this battle to see the enemy wiped out. And so they are pursuing, and they are pursuing, and they are pursuing, and they are pursuing. Verse 22 states again, watch this, Judges 7:22. He says, and Gideon and the 300 men blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against what? His fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled to Beth Shitta in Zererat, that's where Elijah came from, and to the border of Abel Meholah unto Tabat, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Praise the Lord. And they did what? Verse 25. And they took two princes of the Midianites. They captured two of them. Oreb and Zeb. Some say Oreb. Some say Zeb. He says, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb. And pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. Now, who is Oreb and who is Zeb? These are princes. But the word Oreb has a meaning. It's a wolf. That's a wolf spirit. And Zeb is a raven. Now, these two animals, this animal and bird, have certain peculiarities about them. The wolf and the raven are very smart, very intelligent. The raven will remember where it has been, marks out areas, doesn't forget things, recognizes its faces. The raven, just like parrots can mimic humans, the raven can do the same thing. Did you know that? Ravens do the same thing. Now, there's something. God, in getting these two, was trying to get something back. Something that his people needed. The wolf is an animal that travels in packs. Yeah? They don't thrive alone by themselves. Well, what does God want his people to do? To gather together, to be one. Yeah? So these two animals have particular characteristics that believers need to have. But they are unclean spirits. They are unclean in the sense that these animals, well, look at it this way. Did God decide to create unclean animals or unclean birds? Something happened in the fall that affected different animals. Just like it affected people. Certain things affected their creations. Did the snake not lose its legs? Huh? Because of the fall? Okay, things happened. Now, but the peculiarities is that the head had to be taken. Now, there are going to be two other kings we're going to talk about and we're going to pray about. I hope you're not planning on taking off right away. You want results, right? Okay. All right. But if you have to go, I'm not going to hold you back. You can go home whenever you want to. But I'm going to process this process and make sure I get the results I need.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So yes, these two, they captured them and they brought their heads to the man of God, Oreb and Zeb. Zeb, the wolf, Oreb, the raven, captured, brought down. Now we're going to pray that those peculiarities that are godly, that are needful for us to thrive mentally, emotionally, physically, sociologically, economically, whatever graces we need, that we tap into that and receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's already there. God's not recreating anything. It's already created. We take what the enemy stole from us.
That's right.
Pull it back. Jesus says, our Lord says, be wise as the what?
Serpent.
As the serpent. Did he say that?
That's what he said.
He didn't say, be wise as something else. He says, be wise as the serpent. In other words, the serpent has some kind of wisdom that it tapped into. Get it back. Whatever the enemy has stolen from us, we are going to collect it back. Some say, I'm a collector. Hallelujah. Restoration must come back.
Yes.
Amen? So rise with me. We're going to begin to declare whatever graces we need, we tap into them now. Whatever the enemy has stolen from us, we take it back. Pull it back to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Pull back all the resources, all the blessings, the intellect, the wisdom, the smartness. Pull it back. Take it, take it. It says the children of this world are wiser than my children. Huh? How did they get that wise? Get all that wisdom back. Hallelujah. Get it back. In the mighty name of Jesus, God Almighty, you have goodness and mercy already released upon the earth. You have given gifts unto men, even unto the rebellious. Today we take every blessing back, everything that belongs, oh God, that will help us be the better version of ourselves in you. Lord, oh God, we collect it all back now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We collect back the intellect. We collect back the wisdom, the smartness. We collect down, oh God, that tenacity, that drive, that passion, Lord, oh God, that we have lost. We collect it all back now in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive, oh God, total restoration for our lives, total restoration for our families, total restoration for our church, total restoration for our businesses. In the mighty name of Jesus, total restoration. You lying devils, you cannot keep what belongs to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we take back violently everything that belongs to us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So it is. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There are two other things. I'll need to leave some things alone, but these other ones are very important. Into chapter 8. After In chapter 7, they pursued the Midianites. In chapter 8, they deal with another issue. They have dealt with Oreb, which is the raven, and Zeb, that's the wolf. And in verse 4, it tells us about how Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. They were faint, yet pursuing them. I want you to grasp those statements: faint, yet pursuing. In essence, they were tired, but they kept on focus. There's a time as you are warring against the enemy where you get tired, but that's not the time to stop. I'm tired, so I must stop. God understands. No, if there is still an enemy running around, you better get that enemy. And these two that we're going to talk about are very, very interesting enemies. Verse 5 tells us about them. He says, "And he said unto the men of Sukkot," or Booths, "Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I'm pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna." Zeba and who? Zalmunna. Who are these two? What does this name mean? Pick up, please. Are you listening? Zeba means deprived of protection. Deprived of protection. Deprived of protection. Zalmunna means exactly the same. Deprived of protection. Why is this important? Because God wants you to capture that thing that makes you think you are not protected. Are we together? That's why these two names that mean the same thing. Because God wants to make certain that you know 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 that the enemy knows that you know that he knows that you are protected.
Amen.
Protected by what? By the presence, the everlasting presence of the omnipresent God, who said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Praise God. That demonic spirit that makes you want to think that you are not protected. And watch, it says, where is this happening? They are with the men of Sukkot. Sukkot, Booths. Yes? Tabernacle. Yes? Remember? Is the teaching on Sukkot coming to you? Remember we talked about Sukkot, God bringing you out of your limited house into a booth, and there you are, and as you lay down, you are seeing the stars. God reminding you of his Abrahamic blessing. You are resting or laying down in the sand. God reminding you of the blessing. Now, they come to Sukkot, and they ask the people of Sukkot, we are tired, we wiped, can we get some bread? And they said, have you captured Ziva and Zalmunna yet? Have you captured without protection yet? You want us to help you so that without protection can come back and wipe us out? We're not helping you. These are the Israelites. They're supposed to be family. These guys are defeating the enemy that's kept you in bondage, and here you are arguing about giving 300 people some bread? You say, that is terrible. Is that more terrible than us today not helping the vision of God? Well, when you have all of your stuff put together, then I will give some financial support. No faith. You know, it's like a person, how am I going to get employed if you keep on asking me, do you have any experience? How am I going to get experience if I don't get employed? Well, make a way. Tell them, you know what? You don't want to employ me right now because I need experience. Let me volunteer. And get some experience that way. Give something. Well, these guys are not willing to give anything. And Gideon is upset with them. He says, therefore, when the Lord had delivered Ziba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Thorns and briars. Where does that come from? That goes back to the curse. Are we together? In other words, when we defeat these lying forces, deprived of protection, poverty is coming to you. Instead of reaping a harvest of blessings, you're going to reap thorns and thistles, briars. What are we going to do now? We may be tired. You want to go home, but we're not quitting, are we? We're right there, right now. So I don't want you to faint. Let's complete this battle. Yes. So we're going to go after Ziba and Zalmunna. Amen? Now, they capture Ziba and Zalmunna. They bring them to Gideon. And Gideon says to his eldest son, kill them. And the son is shaking and couldn't do it. So Ziba and Zalmunna say to Gideon, well, if we're going to die, let's die in the hands of a man, not some boy. In other words, we need to grow up. Praise the Lord. He says right there, give me the verse again. He says, and he said unto Jetha, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he what? Feared, because he was yet a what? Youth. He feared because he was yet a youth. He was not mature. You need to be mature to do the man's job. Then Ziba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us, for as a man is, so is his strength. As mature as you are, so will your strength be. You're going to be determined by what you are doing based on the strength that's established in you. And Gideon arose and slew Ziba and Zalmunna and took away the what? Ornaments that were on what? Their camels' necks. Ornaments on their camels' necks. That's wealth. You know what the Word of God says? Money answereth all things. You know, part of, you know, when God says to us about wisdom, he says wisdom is a defense. We prayed about that first. That's the first part. When we talked about the raven and the wolf, we're talking about the wisdom, intellect, and all of that. But the second part is God's word says, he says to us in his word, wisdom is a defense. And then he says, money is a defense. You got to have both, the smarts and the money. So we are going to call forth our protection. We are not deprived of protection. The protection of finances, the protection of wisdom and insight and understanding, knowledge, understanding. All that we need to function as mighty men and women of God. We're going to tap into all of that today. Amen? Are you ready to pray? Okay. So we're going to declare now that Ziba, the spirit of Ziba and Zalmunna, which means deprived of protection, that those spirits are destroyed. And we are enforcing that by saying to ourselves today, I am fully protected by God. The word of God says that those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And what does the verse 2 say? They will say what? The Lord is my what? My refuge. My protection. Yes. Amen? We're going to declare the protection of God over our lives, over our children. Every day our children go out and we go out, there are forces that want to create confusion around us. We want full, clear, cut out protection at all times. The angels of God going with us wherever we go. Amen? Lift up your voice before the Lord and begin to pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the spirit of Ziba and Zalmunna are destroyed. We are fully protected by you, God. We are not deprived of protection. So, Lord, O God, today in the mighty name of Jesus, we say that we, our household, our ministry, everything about us is protected by the authority of your everlasting word. Our businesses are protected. Our minds are protected. Our health protected. Our finances protected. Lord, O God, in a world where there are those, O God, that are swindling people, we will not be swindled. We will not, oh God, be scammed in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we declare, oh God, a firewall, oh God, around every aspect of our lives right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, a firewall, oh God, of protection. Father, in Jesus' name, our hedge is fully protected. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, oh God, anything that we have spoken out of our mouths that have caused, oh God, the hedge to be weak, Lord, oh God, today in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare those words destroyed and we reinforce your will and your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Grace abounds towards us. We are walking fulfilled. We are walking blessed. We are walking, oh God, in the authority of your name. And Lord, oh God, this day your glory is revealed in us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that the kings, Ziba and Zalmunna, are discomfited. They are defeated and will return back victorious in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we are not weary. The word of God is true. They that wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They run and they are not weary. They walk and they do not faint. Lord, oh God, that describes us. We are a people that do not faint. We are a people that are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Father, we give you praise. For Lord, we are strong in you. Oh, hallelujah. For our strength is drawn from you. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to wrap up with this next prayer. We've been praying it, but I want us to see this really, really rooted and grounded on the soil of God's love. He says in verse 24 of chapter 8, Gideon is asking for some resources. He says, Gideon said unto them, I will desire a request of you, because they were requesting him to be Lord over them, to be their main leader, and Gideon says, no, the Lord is your leader. He says, I will desire a request of you that you will give me every man the earrings of his prey. You defeated them. They had earrings. He says, for they had golden earrings because they were what? Ishmaelites. Remember what I said? Midian is a son of Keturah, Abraham's second wife after Sarah died. How did these guys that are sons of Keturah, not sons of Ishmael, get to be called Ishmaelites? It says, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Their animals have wealth on them. Here we are going to do this. We are going to call back our wealth. Amen?
Amen.
What are we going to do? We're going to call back our wealth. We're not called to be poor.
Thank you, Lord.
We're called to be wealthy.
Amen. Let it be, Lord.
Amen?
Amen. Let it be.
The lie of the enemy that you're supposed to be poor is exactly that, a lie.
Forgive us, Lord.
Okay? All right. Now, this prayer that we're going to pray here is very important because we need to deal with that stronghold of lack. And understand, are you ready? Wealth is not a result of hard work. Wealth is a result of blessed work. Not hard work. Let me say it again. Wealth is not a result of what? Hard work. The word of God says, it is the way of the wicked that is hard. We are supposed to work blessed.
Amen?
Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to collect back whatever it is that's been stolen, knowingly or unknowingly. And the word of God says when we identify the thief, he's got to pay back seven times. Yes? And God says that he will bless us 8,000 times more.
Amen.
Amen? So this last prayer, we're going to call back our wealth. It is somewhere. When David was pursuing the enemy that took his family and the enemy that took the families of his emissaries that were fighting with him, Everything that they collected from all the other places they attacked were still with them. They got all of that. And then they had so much, they started sharing all over the place. Yes? Okay. Well, we're going to do the same thing. Wherever my wealth has been locked up, it must be located and retrieved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because what God has given to you, somebody's using to dress his animals. Somebody's using my money somewhere. No more. I want my stuff back. Amen. Hallelujah. It must find me. Praise the Lord. It must find you. Hallelujah. Say, I have lots already. You don't know how much more you can have. But the thing is, you must not make stuff your Lord. Okay? It is a tool. Money is a tool. So that we can preach the gospel and reach lives all over the globe. Hallelujah. Are you ready to pray?
Yes.
Okay, let's go collect our stuff back. Glory be to God. Father, we come before your throne room today expressing thanksgiving for supernatural wisdom and insight to your word. And we thank you, Lord, O God, for the breakthroughs that we have this day. For, Lord, O God, we have come to the understanding, Lord, O God, we are not meant to be poor. Your word says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in divine health. And, Lord, O God, today, in Jesus' name, we're calling forth for our wealth. Our wealth is not just money. Our wealth, O God, is family. Our wealth, O God, is relationships. Our wealth, O God, is our health. Our wealth is all things functioning as they should for us at all times. And Lord, O God, today we come and we place a demand on everything that belongs to us to come to us now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Whoever it is that has my stuff, let it go now. Come back to me. Now, in the mighty name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, by the authority of your word, we retrieve everything that belongs to us. We say, come to us now. You must obey this word. Wealth and resources come to us now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come from the north, come from the east, come from the west, come from the south, come from the ground, come from the air, come from the sea. Wherever you are, you must come to us now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, when you have been taxed, you sent Peter fishing. He said, when you catch the fish, open its mouth, you're going to find gold in there. Pay all the bills. Lord, tonight, we declare debt cancellation.
Yes.
We cannot be wealthy and be in debt. So, Lord, oh God, whichever way you need to fix this, we thank you, Lord, that it's been fixed right now. And, Lord, oh God, we thank you, Father, that your word says, oh God, that the enemy identified must pay back sevenfold. And Lord, oh God, we identify that the enemy is the devil and his cohorts. Every agent that's been working against us and against your will over our lives. Father, this day we identify that enemy and we say, Lord, it's payback time in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We declare that even man-made spirits that have stolen wealth come forth right now like that fish. We take the coin out of your mouth.
Yes.
That's not where it belongs.
Yes.
You are not called to be my bank. Yes.
You're not called to keep my stuff. I collect everything back now. In the mighty name of Jesus. 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 We retrieve all that belongs to us. Come to us now. In Jesus' name. Come to us now. 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 Come to us now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I command wealth and resources to come to us now. Come to me 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 now. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Somebody shout hallelujah to the Lord. Glory be to God. All my stuff restored in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One of the things that Gideon did was he gave and he built an altar where the angel showed up. Tonight, before we leave, I want us to declare an altar established here. An altar that you're going to service is the altar of the Lord. You're going to service it sacrificially so that the abundance, look at Gideon bringing, says, you stay, wait for me to the angel, wait for me. If truly God is with me, wait here until I come. And he came back with resources, sacrifice, a sacrificial giving. And now, here in chapter 8, he's collecting, not all of it, he's collecting whatever it is that the enemy had as earrings, golden earrings. Why is that important? Because it's resting in the place where hearing takes place. Wealth is in how you hear. Because what you hear is what you're going to say. So we're going to bring our resources to the Lord, soon to the Lord, and we're going to say, God, I thank you that I hear correctly and I do righteously. Amen? The hearing of faith and the confession of faith. Amen? Amen. So, hear from God. Let's start from there. Hear from God and then give unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You ready to do that? Amen. Take your time, hear from God, and then give. Normally, I will get my offering ready, write it out. But I didn't hear. I know what God normally asks me to give, and I do that. But tonight, I wanted to hear what he will say to me. So having heard, I will do accordingly. Do the same thing. Those of you that are home, do the same thing. Hear from God. And give as the Lord has given you direction. And enforce the will and the word of God. I don't know who this is for, but to somebody, that is supposed, in this offering, God is speaking to you to give to somebody something. And I encourage you to do exactly that. God is speaking to you. I want you to give this to somebody. Do exactly what God said. I don't need that offering in here. I need that offering in the hands of whoever it is God spoke to you about. Take that and say, God is asking me to give you this. It is going to unlock something for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. Just obey the instruction. Now bring your offering as you have heard. Do accordingly. Just bring it. Honor God's word and direction to you. Glory be to God. Thank God for every one of you that have responded accordingly in obedience to the directives of the Lord. May God honor you by blessing your commitment and engagement tonight. Hallelujah. We will dismiss shortly from those that are on Facebook and YouTube. I'd like to remind everyone, if you want to do an e-transfer, that's the information there. Next Sunday is going to be a powerful gathering here. I need for you to make certain that you are here in the morning service. Be here to hear Archbishop bring the word of the Lord to us. This is a great man of God. I've had the privilege of ministering with him, Archbishop John Praise Daniel. He's going to bring a foundational word to us. We're calling this Fresh Fire, Fresh Impact. That'll be in the morning and in the evening. When a man comes with the grace of God on his life to us, we want to tap into what he's carrying. Every man or woman of God, just like every person has a particular fingerprint that is uniquely theirs, so also are anointings. Whatever he's carrying, I don't carry. It's the same Lord. But there are things that he's going to bring that I'm going to collect. Amen? I'm here to receive. I want to be everything God wants me to be. And as we come under the grace of what a man or woman of God is carrying, things begin to happen. And this service tonight, the Lord said, I needed to prepare us to receive what he's going to be bringing. Amen? So that whatever it is that he's bringing, we don't lose it because we did not deal with Zalmunna. Hello?
Amen.
Okay? You got to be established. So be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening. I don't know what he's going to do in the morning. I don't know what he's going to do in the evening. But I'd rather not miss whatever it is I need to get. Amen? Amen? So don't be, I only come Sunday evenings. You just come Sunday evenings, you're following your tradition, and that is the stronghold. Kill that stronghold. We already did that, right? So do differently. Be here Sunday morning. It is our Mission Sunday. That's, you know, this is how important it is. Mission Sunday, that is not a Sunday I would give to anybody to go do anything. Mission Sunday? No. Mission Sunday, that's our Mission Sunday focus. But if I let it be for a man of God to come, I want you to be filled with expectancy. Amen? All right? And it's Mama's birthday this week, Friday. However, I want to remind you again that we have a great conference coming up, September 10th to the 13th. Don't miss it. Amen? This one announcement I'm going to make now is not ours, but there's going to be a group that's going to be using our facilities on the 7th and the 8th of August. That's like in 2 weeks, something like that. Come and participate and see what God is doing. It's going to be an interesting one. You need to come early if you want to have a seat, because this whole place is going to be packed out. So that's the August 7th and 8th. All right? So that's an announcement. It's not our meeting, but we're participating by letting this group of saints use our facilities. We have this great facility. It's supposed to be used for something about the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so those are the quick announcements that I wanted to share with you. And please, for the registration, do that quickly before the end of the month. We need to have our numbers settled, okay? So don't procrastinate and say, well, I'm going to do it. Anytime I do that, I go, oops, I forgot. So do it right away. Oh, and by the way, there is on the website, there is a place for tip. That's not for you. Don't tip anything there. Okay? Don't do any tipping. Because that money is not coming to us or to the caterer. Okay? Did you guys tip?
Yes.
That goes to the platform that is helping us process the financing. You didn't know? You knew? Oh, it says, oh, but you still decided to tip. Okay, so that went, oh, he did. He just gave free money to the platform. It has nothing to do with the church. But anyway, that's an inside information. We won't say that on the platform because they're letting us use their platform. So, but, well, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. So thank you for making us not look too bad.